You're listening to a podcast from funnyinthemiddle.com.
Hi, we dig music, and because of this, we've kept the music in our podcast at a low background level because we believe that you should support the artists by buying their records and going to their gigs. If you want to hear the songs in full, we've made Spotify playlists of all available music featured in each episode, which you can find on funnyinthemiddle.com. You can also join in the discussion on Facebook and Twitter by searching at WeDigMusicPcast. Finally, if you dig what you're hearing, please subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice, write a review if possible, and tell all your friends that you think would enjoy it. Anyway, enough of my yakking. On with the podcast. Hello and welcome to We Dig Music. I'm Colin, and with me are my comrades and co-hosts, Tracy.
Hello.
And Ian.
Ho ho ho.
And this time, as Ian has just indicated, it's Christmas!
Just really amused.
Yeah.
That's how I laugh.
So me and these bunch of Scrooges are going to be going through... We're going to be talking about our favourite songs of the year. We're going to be doing a countdown in a Top of the Pops kind of style. Christmas number one means fuck all these days, so we're going to replace that by our favourite songs of the year.
Yes.
Which has not been overtaken by Simon Cowell or people trying to beat Simon Cowell by getting Rage Against the Machine's
and
number one.
Still earning Simon Cowell money because
exactly.
He owns the rights to that song too.
So.
I should have brought my jingle bells with me.
You should have.
But you didn't.
No,
you
just always bring them.
Colin can just fly some in later in the edit.
Well, it will already, if my editing skills work properly, will already have been on the theme tune.
Well, okay then.
Brilliant.
If I fuck that up, I'll just cut this bit out.
No, leave it in. I demand it.
So.
And I'm going to start listening to this now.
So, Colin, how are we doing it this week?
Well, we've got a countdown. So basically what we've done is we've chosen... 8 favourite songs each.
Why was it 8? That's
because
such an arbitrary
10
number.
10 would take fucking ages, and I didn't want to narrow my list down to 5.
There you go.
Fair enough.
I decided right now, I'd got a list of 10, and I was like, I can just about cut that one off, and maybe that one. Right, 8. It's staying as 8, I don't want to cut any of these. So this is not necessarily songs that were released this year. This
Mine
is songs
is.
That we...
Mine nearly is.
So this is songs that we've got into this year. So mine really is. I've got one from last year.
Okay.
In Ian's list, there is definitely a song from the early 90s that's a live version.
Yeah, the live version was released this year.
Okay,
that's
fair
legitimate.
Enough. And Tracy has
I've got one
definitely
from 1995.
Got one from the mid 90s. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think shall we just get on with the first part of the countdown, which will be
okay.
The We Dig Music Top 24 of 2017.
Da, 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 da.
So, Tracy has the envelope for the first one.
I do.
We do not know the order that these are
we
in.
We don't.
You can hear the envelope being ripped now.
Do I
explain the scoring system, Colin.
Yeah, so the scoring system. This is how we did it. We chose our 8 songs each.
Yes.
We scored our own favourite, our own ones that we'd chosen. By our favourite one got 8 points, our second favourite one got 7, and so on. So the least favourite of them got 1 point. We then did the same with each other's list. And then we had one bonus point, which we could then apply to either of the other people's lists.
Yes, we couldn't have our own song as our 9-point song.
Because that would be ridiculous.
And we got Colin's wife to tot up all of the songs.
Helen, thank you.
Yes, I'm sorry, ladies.
She's not going to listen to this.
Colin is married.
She doesn't bother listening to the podcast.
She's done the list in really strange colours.
Yeah,
I can't see
our printer decided that it wasn't going to print black, so...
oh, dear.
That was the easiest way of doing it.
I can't... Did I ever tell you?
Should we put the light on?
Yeah, I'm just going to put the light on.
Because I never told you, I can't see the difference between blue and green in low light.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Well, You colourblind freak.
It's not low light anymore. It's an arse when I play Trivial Pursuit.
You're an arse when you play Trivial Pursuit. So, Tracy has the first list, and we're going to read it in a countdown-y style way. So, what is the 25th? No, not that kind of countdown. I'm really intrigued to know what
we need the Top of the Pops theme.
That'll be in the background. People will be able to...
Excellent.
The listeners will hear that at the moment.
But what was the shittest one?
The shittest one.
On the list. The shittest one.
But still... within the 24 best songs of the year.
Imagine, right, if your song, you rated it the lowest, you're like, this is my least favourite one, and then we all went, yes, you're correct.
You're right, that one
so
was
so it's got, like, 3 points.
It's distinctly possible.
Okay, well...
We will find out. How many points has the first one got? The lowest one?
4.
So,
fucking hell.
We nearly did that.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, I understand what Helen's done here now. Sorry.
Well done.
So, in the lowest position, Ian, tell me how it feels. This is from a band called Unsane, a song called Aberration.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I heard it, and I was like, I dig that, and I put it on there. I wasn't entirely invested in it.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was still good enough to be in the list.
Yeah, yeah. I mean...
It had decent guitar on it. All I wrote down about this one when I listened to it is, don't like the scratchy vocals.
Scratchy vocals?
Well, scratchy vocals.
The vocals reminded me of Nick Oliveri's doing screamy bits in earlier Queens of the Stone Age stuff. It's got a nice sort of crunchy... riff kind of thing.
But
they've been around for years and years. Like, years. I bought an Unsane album.
25 years.
Yeah, you remember Pat's Records?
Yeah.
I bought an Unsane album from there.
Right, well, that closed in...
in the second-hand section.
That closed in about 97, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're talking at least over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Anything anyone else wants to say about Aberration by Unsane?
Nah.
So we have a tie, so there isn't a 23rd position, there's a joint 22nd.
Ooh. So what is the first of those?
The first of them, I don't even know how you pronounce this. I didn't really want me to have to read this one
is
out.
Is it Ho 9909?
No, because I know how to say that.
Oh, okay.
That.
Yeah, because it's horror.
Horrors. Horror.
It's not the Horrors, that's a totally different band.
It's Horror.
Don't like that either.
Okay.
I like the Horrors.
Anyway.
No, it's Shobbleader.
Shobbleader 1. Aww.
One of Collins.
you must have rated it quite low as well.
I can't actually remember what I
rated. Only gave it 3 points.
So how much did you guys give it, one each?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Yeah.
I mean, Colin...
It's Square Pusher.
So it's Shobbleader 1, a song called Journey to Redom. And, I mean, Colin, what the fuck?
Okay.
What the fuck is it?
Fucking hell, man. It's Square Pusher.
It's like Sonic the Hedgehog goes jungle.
It's fucking brilliant. Right, Square Pusher is a fucking electronic genius. He's like Aphex Twin.
Okay.
That kind of thing. He was on Warp Records. Shobbleader 1 is his live project.
Okay.
So it's basically... Journey to Redom is one of his old, really early singles.
Yeah.
From like... I've got a feeling it was about 95, something like that. And this is a live album. So the bass on it, even though it sounds really synthy because it's through loads of effects, is a live bass player. The drums are live. They're a real proper drummer. The only bit that is... electronic and sequenced is the sequenced synth bit on the top.
Yeah, yeah.
There's there's a guitar which is going through whammy pedals and stuff and loads of effects. And I've really got into over the last sort of year or so, there's a few sort of examples of like old glitchy Warp Records type stuff done by live instruments. So there's a band called The Bad Plus.
Right.
They were like a jazz quartet, I think.
Yeah.
Who do an absolutely amazing version of Flynn by Aphex Twin.
Okay.
And it's just listening to the drums on it and stuff, it's technically fucking amazing. But I really, really love
that
track.
It's really manic.
Yeah. I dig stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't sold.
No.
I wasn't sold. It definitely isn't the one that I hated the most.
No.
I just wasn't sure how you expected me to react to that.
I liked it the least.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's still in the top 24.
Yeah.
Well, And so in the other one in joint 22nd place is actually one of mine. It's Sunvault, The Storm.
Yeah, see, now that's fucking hated.
Really?
Fucking hated it.
I thought you'd like that. It's kind of like...
Why?
Bluesy Americana.
Why the... What the fuck, Tracy? What the fuck?
So Sunvault is it's Jay Farrar's band after Uncle Tupelo.
Okay.
I've come to them very, very late. This is their 8th album.
So is it a band then? Because it sounds very solo project-y.
Sunvault, it's pretty
like
much
shitting in my
solo.
Ears. Just didn't like it. Did not like it.
I love it. I've been driving to this album a lot, actually.
It was one of my lower ones on the list, but I like it. It's like an old sort of Dust Bowl folk ballad kind of thing, like Burl Ives, Cisco Hoost, and that kind of thing. Woody Guthrie. I've got this compilation CD of American murder ballads that's old, like sort of 1930s folk type songs, and it's like something off there, but with less. Singing about chucking people down a well, which most of those songs are about. That was generally in the American West. I think that was their main choice of murder.
I'm a bit confused on Helen's scoring here, actually, because it apparently says
scoring.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it's saying that Ian gave this 1 point, but then he also they're different lists. Yeah, sorry. Nothing.
Fucking hell.
What the fuck are you jabbering about, woman?
Nothing. Penny.
Have you worked out what you're doing now?
Penny's dropped.
Okay. As you were. Shall we go on to the next one on the list?
Yes, shall we? So in 21st position is Here Lies Man.
Oh.
A song called When I Come To. Was that yours, Colin?
That's one of mine. Do you guys not like that?
No.
No.
I can't remember what it sounded like.
It had a kind of a funky guitar riff and this really annoying squeaky keyboard sound throughout.
Yes.
And the vocals and the bass line reminded me of the Stone Roses.
Fuck off.
It was really annoying me.
Fuck off.
And then the middle section...
It was like Fella Cootie.
And then the middle section went a bit Happy Mondays.
Fuck off.
And then I skipped it. And I went to the next track.
Fucking Hacienda bollocks. We're talking fucking Nigeria, not fucking Manchester.
Yes, it did. But yeah, I just...
There's a New York-based Afrobeat collective called Antibalance, and it's a side project from some of those guys.
Okay.
And it's kind of like Afrobeat mixed with sort of metal rock type fuzz rock kind of riffs, kind of in the sort of vein of Goat and that kind of thing. And it's my kind of thing. I dig it. But
hence it being on your list and not mine.
That's why it was on my list and not either of yours.
Yeah.
Stone fucking roses.
That's what I call them as well. The stone fucking roses.
And that's why it's so low on the chart.
Yes, this is true.
Okay, moving up the list. And I'm disappointed this one. So this is one of mine. I'm disappointed this has come so low.
Damn, I'm doing
actually.
So well.
Is
yes, absolute bottom, but...
Oh, no, we've got another joint one, actually. So there's no 20th position. Joint 19, we've got the Black Angels, mine. And I picked Medicine off... It was actually last year their album Death Song, but it's just brilliant, spaced out psych.
It's just a bit.
It's not. It's the most derivative thing on the list.
I'm always surprised how unexciting I find psych music, because I think it should be. Because, like, psychedelic.
Really?
It doesn't sound psych.
I've had quite a psych year, actually.
There's some brilliant psych. That is not a good example of it.
Like, I was really sad that I didn't go to the gig. But that was only because A Place to Bury Strangers were supporting.
Yeah.
They were amazing. I went to see them live. They're really well suited to each other, those two bands, actually.
That particular track.
Because, like, you
brilliant.
Don't really need to pay attention to the Black Angels.
Yeah.
After you've had your ears blown out by A Place to Bury Strangers.
I did have my ears blown out.
You could watch them and go home early.
Yeah.
Go to the
I'd totally have done that.
No, they were brilliant. Black Angels were brilliant. Well, that was one of my gigs of the year.
Well, they might be great live, but that particular song sounded almost exactly like Columbia by Oasis.
Jesus Christ.
Ouch!
Seriously.
Is this
seriously.
Payback for the Stone Roses?
Doesn't need payback. That's
Ouch.
What it sounds like.
Do you know, I think...
There's a bit of early Sid era Floyd in some of the bits, but it... Black Rebel Motorcycle Club again.
Do you know, I've got this theory, actually, that the Black Angels are a slowed-down version of Gene Loves Jezebel.
Maybe.
If you play them on sort of 1.5 or 2 speed on YouTube, It sounds like Gene Loves Jezebel, who, for anyone listening that doesn't know...
That'd be sped up if it was 1.5 speed.
Yeah, you speed up Black Angels.
Yeah, she said they're a slowed down
version.
Right. Yeah, Black Angels are the slowed down.
Yes. You're the one with the fucking headphones on. You should be able to hear better than all of us.
I've got no brain.
Exactly.
So Gene Loves Jezebel were a sort of glam goth band from the early to mid-80s.
Early to mid-80s, yeah.
And I was obsessed with them.
Yes.
Oh,
that's disgusting.
Okay.
That was
joint. And so also in joint 19th is Mayhem. Freezing Moon Live.
You fucking Philistines.
I quite like that.
That was actually my least favourite.
You knew Tracy.
I knew you were going to.
You knew Tracy isn't going to dig. She's not true cult. She's not sitting here with corpse paint on us.
No, she's not. I mentally am always wearing corpse paint.
And it was really fucking long as well.
It's like 6 minutes.
It's not my usual sort of brand of metal. But when the mood strikes, it does make me want
to
listen.
It's your fault, this is, Cole, because you told me to listen to that last podcast on the left.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The black metal episodes.
Yeah.
And, you know, apart from their casual racism, I was really intrigued by the whole thing. So I've gone out, I've got Lords of Chaos now.
Lords of Chaos is such a good book.
I've started off reading it, and it is fucking really good.
There's Where the Light Takes Us, the documentary.
Yeah, I almost ordered that as well, and then I thought I was probably just going to black metal myself out.
Yeah. The thing with black metal is I'm more interested in the story of it all than the music.
It's emotive, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I never know what the lyrics are. I imagine they're fucking cool. But
or they could be... What was that one? Kenny
Oh, God, the
Frost
Bananas.
Song? Yeah.
Yeah, because
so
they actually...
Frost, the UK black metal band related to Anal Nathrak and all that, one of the lyrics in one of their songs is definitely bananas, because we know Kenny, the guy that is the singer.
Steve Kenny. As opposed to Mick Kenny, the producer.
Yes.
And
his brother.
Guitarist.
So.
Moving on with the chart then. We don't have an 18th position. What?
We're just doing a bit of black metal.
Yeah, okay. You're not cult enough.
I'm not.
True cult.
Spelt with a V.
Yeah.
We don't have an 18th position. We've got joint 17th. Now, the next one, it's one of mine. I'm disappointed it's so low. But what's really weird is, Colin, you gave it the least points, but Ian gave it 7 points. So he voted it his second favourite on my list. And you, it's a band called The Telepaths, a song called Fudge Mountain. And so you said you like Psych, Ian. But you didn't
I said I like the idea of Psych.
But The Telepaths are quite a Psych band.
They evidently did it in a slightly more interesting way than the Black Angels.
I found it really generic.
Really? I got into them this year because a friend on Twitter, Will, he's mates with them.
Sorry, Will.
And I loved them from the first time I heard them. I'm making it my mission to catch them live next year.
But you put them pretty low down in your list. I've been the nicest to them so far.
If Ian put them as 7...
Actually, right.
You must have done... What did you give them?
Is it a 1?
2.
I've really got into them. They're amazing.
Yeah.
2.
Hold on.
No,
they
sorry.
Are still in her top 8 of the
They're
year.
They're still in the top 8 of the year.
I know, I'm just fucking with you. Like,
yeah, I know, actually.
So all of these songs are good enough to have been in the top 24.
There's a very good chance that I rated it up there just because I didn't like most of the other stuff on your playlist. So don't necessarily take it as a
compliment.
Yeah,
but they're higher up the charts than... No, I really like the band. They're a psych band from Kettering. Not many bands from Kettering.
It's the sound of Kettering. That's what I thought. I've been to Kettering, and it sounded exactly like my experience of going to Kettering.
Wow.
and
pretty brutal.
And the other one in joint 17th position, and the last part of the chart I'll be announcing, is Ian's list, Street Sects.
You must have rated that pretty
In Prison, At Least I Had You.
I love the title.
Yeah.
It is a nice title for the song, actually. I gave that 3.
Okay. What did I give
it? Ian only gave that 2 on his own list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you gave it 5, so sort of bang in the middle for you. I don't know what
5 is not the middle of 8.
But
it isn't.
I listened when I very first played that one on the playlists we'd given each other. I actually was listening to that going, Ian, did you listen to anything this year that didn't sound like Nine Inch Nails?
That doesn't sound like Nine Inch Nails.
I think it did, but then I decided, I was listening to it again last night, and I think I'm being unfair because I actually liked it, and I wanted to vote it higher.
Also,
nothing else on Ian's list sounds like Nine Inch Nails.
No, I didn't even put Nine Inch Nails on the list, and they had a song out this year, or the whole EP.
That was spoilers for the rest of the list. Actually, no, people that follow us on Twitter know the list.
I thought Unsane was quite Nine Inch Nails.
What? There's nothing electronic on that track, and everyone's just fucking angry, and it's noisy, and there's no piano.
Just saying.
It's not anything like Nine Inch Nails at all.
Saying.
You're wrong, Tracy. That's why I voted everything on your list so low.
Street Sex, I quite liked. It's sects. So it's
not sex.
Sex.
No, Street Sex.
Street Sex is illegal. Street
Sects
are a band.
Round the back of Rackham's.
Like insects.
But yeah, I kind of dug it. It reminded me of... now, this is going to sound terrible because they're not a particularly good band, but it sounded like Orgy, but covering Skinny Puppy.
Yeah, I got more of a... what was that band? They did Agenda Suicide.
Oh, The Faint, yeah.
They sounded a bit like The Faint to me, which is what...
Yeah, I can dig that, definitely.
Like a noisier version of The Faint, and that's why I liked it, like vocally especially.
Oh, The Faint are fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Another Saddle Creek band. So that's the end of the first section.
So who's got the envelope with the next section of the countdown?
I have, Colin. But we're not doing it yet.
Oh.
Ooh.
We have other things to discuss before.
This
is fucking exciting. Building tension.
Yeah. So
building chaos.
Pretty much. So first we're going to talk about Christmas songs, because it's the Christmas episode.
Hey.
So we've each chosen our favourite Christmas song. Tracy couldn't decide on her favourite Christmas song, so Tracy put a poll up on Twitter and then ignored what people said.
Because people were wrong, apparently.
Basically.
They weren't wrong, it's just that everyone... Well,
what happened here was Tracy put three songs on Twitter. One of them, lots of people voted for, but then lots of other people vocally complaining about it.
That it's not a Christmas song.
And put forward very good arguments of why she should not go with that song.
Like the fact that Christmas Steps by Mogwai is not a Christmas song.
Exactly.
It's just got the word Christmas in it.
Exactly. So what had happened there is...
It was named after some stairs, Tracy.
rather than taking the popular result of the vote... She'd listened to the carefully thought out arguments and decided not to go against it anyway.
So
that's what should have happened with Brexit, ladies.
Yeah. yes, it is.
And then the other complaint I got is that I put Lowe's Taking
the
Down
Lowe's
the Tree
song.
And everyone was going, well, if you'd put Lowe's Just Like Christmas, I'd have voted for that. But that isn't my favourite Lowe Christmas song.
Which is fair enough, it's your favourite Christmas song.
Yeah.
So as long as it's a Christmas song, the Mogwai one isn't.
See, thing is, I really like depressing Christmas songs.
You're both a bunch of fucking humbug bloody Scrooges.
You're lucky. I mean, the other one I picked, the Sufjan Stevens, I went with Hey Kids, It's Christmas Time. Hey Guys, It's Christmas Time. I was actually going to go with the Sorry I Made You Cry on Christmas Day.
my particular choice is a shimmering...
Epic.
Not a fucking miserable song.
It's not. You just generally are about Christmas.
Yeah, I know.
So,
we'll get into that later.
Let's, first of all, so we're going to go through each song that we like, and then we're going to talk about a song we don't like each. So, shall we first of all talk about the one that Tracy has chosen?
Yes, which she has already name-dropped, so...
Low, Taking Down the Tree. This is one that you played the week after Christmas. When you are taking down the tree, and it's just, the deflation of the whole festive period. It's like, just beautiful.
Tracy's addicted to being sad, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's still, it is a beautiful song. I love Low.
It is fantastic. A lovely song.
They're a really, really amazing live band. They're definitely worth checking out.
I missed out on seeing them earlier this year.
I've seen them a couple of times. I've not seen them recently. But their whole Christmas album is really good.
It is.
As aforementioned... Just Like Christmas is a really good and quite upbeat Christmas song.
Which is why I didn't go for
it. Why Tracy didn't go for it. She was like, no, that's far too cheerful.
Of course.
I was going to go actually for Frank Sidebottom's Christmas is Really Fantastic.
Yeah, because you're obsessed with Frank's art body.
I am.
To the extent that you helped pay for a statue of him and went to the unveiling of it.
Yeah.
Just weird.
So, should we talk about Ian's song next or my song? Let's go for Ian's.
Yeah, all right then.
So, what have you chosen?
I have chosen Ocean Size's cover version of Walking in the Air.
Which is bloody fantastic.
It's epic.
It is. It's beautiful. You can only find it on YouTube, though, which is a bit of a fucker.
So it won't be in the Spotify playlist.
I think they gave it away to like fans as a free download or something like that. So it's hard to get hold of.
The guitars in it, they're just searingly beautiful.
Persevere, it's so nice.
It's an instrumental post-rock version of Walking in the Air from the Snowman.
And it sounds like it was written, and it should always have been played that way.
Yeah, it does.
When I was listening to it yesterday, it made me think that there's a gap in the market for an entirely instrumental post-rock album of Christmas songs.
God damn.
That'd be good.
If only you'd have thought about that closer or further away from Christmas. So
perhaps Christmas 2018.
Yes.
We will have recorded one.
Structures could get back together.
Fuck off, I want to be in it.
You mean structures could get back together?
They're still going.
We haven't fucking split up.
On a hiatus.
Not even a fucking hiatus. We just ain't doing anything.
Yeah.
It's different.
Same as Driven Like the Snow.
Kind of like Driven Like the Snow,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So both of our bands
You motherfuckers could definitely not say anything. We've done two fucking albums. How many albums have you done, pricks?
One and none.
Exactly.
In fact, you even played a proper gig this year.
Yeah. I was like
supporting Oathbreaker.
To be fair, our drummer's
leg
fell off.
We did two this year. Bosk as well.
I missed that one. Sorry. Yeah.
So, just to cheer everybody up, my favourite Christmas song.
If mine makes you sad, you're a cunt.
Actually, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's fucking brilliant. I love it. It's really, really good. I love the low one as well. They're all great.
Yeah, no, the low one's really good. I realised I didn't say anything.
All,
I enjoyed it.
All three songs I think are brilliant.
Contrary to my standard stance on hating everything that Tracy suggests I listen to.
I like Christmas songs, and I like cheerful Christmas songs. I even like Slade. Slade are fucking ace.
I do love Slade.
But yeah, my choice...
But Slade aren't just for Christmas.
No, neither are Mogwai. They're for life.
Mogwai aren't for Christmas at all?
No.
Ever?
I quite often get Mogwai stuff for Christmas. But anyway, I have chosen I Want an Alien for Christmas by the Fountains of Wayne.
I didn't even know the... Like, I knew that song,
but
I didn't know it was Fountains of Wayne, and I didn't even know that Fountains of Wayne had done more than one song.
Well, this was years before Stacey's Mum. That was one of their sort of later songs.
Before she had it going on.
Yes. but yeah, it's sort of like a power pop, indie rock Christmas anthem. Yeah. Really cheerful. It's a song about wanting an alien for Christmas. The lyrics are brilliant. Those of humour in it. It's one of the perfect Christmas songs and needs to be heard by more people.
I'd be happier if that got played more.
We should do a campaign for that to be Christmas number one.
Won't happen. Those campaigns only ever work with a big fan base for the band. You could do a campaign.
Or just some kind of reaction thing.
Yeah. So, let's get negative and talk about Christmas songs we don't like.
Yep.
So, who's going to start?
You.
You.
I want to find out what your one is.
Okay.
And I want Ian's to be last.
So, I was reminded of the song that I dislike the most that gets touted as a Christmas song by Tracy choosing one that isn't a Christmas song.
Yeah.
And it's that The Power of Love by Frankie Goes to Hollywood, which isn't in any fucking way a Christmas song.
No, it isn't.
It was released at Christmas and they put like three kings on camels in the video.
Like fucking Stay by E17.
Well, that's at least got sleigh bells in it.
Do you think the original version had?
Probably not, no.
No.
But I
think they even re-released it at Christmas and then did a Christmassy video or something.
No, that was the original release.
Was it?
Yeah. But
The Power of Love is a brilliant song.
But it's not a fucking Christmas song. Rule for Christmas songs, right? This is the important
rule. Be about
rule.
Christmas.
Doesn't even have to be about Christmas. But
any song that says, I'll protect you from the hooded claw.
Yes, what the fuck's that? It's not I Will Protect You from Santa Claus, is it?
Who was the fucking the hooded claw? Was that the bad guy in Inspector Gadget?
I think it was.
Was it?
But yeah, most importantly...
Pretty certain.
If you listen to a Christmas song in July, it should feel wrong.
Yes,
I do hope in the edit you're going to have the Inspector Gadget theme at this point.
Possibly.
Whereas The Power of Love always feels right. Either version, either of the songs.
What, the Celine Dion one?
No.
You want to be careful with that.
Her
There's
name?
Far too many
Jennifer...
songs
for
that.
Yeah, it wasn't Celine Dion.
Oh, yeah, it was... Yeah, it sounds like Celine Dion, though.
It's, yeah, no, I was referencing Huey Lewis produced. And the News.
Yes, right? Which is the correct one.
Yeah.
That is the only acceptable yes. song called Power of Love.
But no, this one as well.
It's a great song.
But
it is.
But it's not a Christmas.
It's not a Christmas song at all. And it should not be on those fucking Christmas compilations.
No, it shouldn't. It's bullshit.
It's like...
Just because it was released at Christmas.
Exactly.
However...
Rage Against the Machine. That was Christmas number one. It's not a fucking Christmas song.
No.
So, Tracy?
I would rather have a song which isn't a Christmas song on them Christmas compilations than Paul fucking McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time. Fucking hate the song so much.
I really like it. Everyone hates
no.
it. I kind of like it.
And it's got Linda McCartney backing vocals as well, hasn't it? And
yeah.
And no.
Before she started putting meat in pies.
I thought she was taking meat out of pies.
No, there was that massive scandal that she was actually using meat products in her vegetarian.
I'm sure it wasn't actually her that was doing that.
Got her fucking
she's a
name on it.
Vegetarian.
It's her fucking fault. It's got her fucking name on it. It's her fucking fault. That's what I say. I saw something the other day that said you'd think that they actually have run out of pieces of Linda McCartney to put in the pies by now.
That's a fair point. Yeah. I like the song. The synths are weird. I kind of like the melody. I just generally I really dig Christmas. So the whole, you know, even songs that at one point I don't like, if I associate them with Christmas by hearing them for 35 years or whatever, every single Christmas, because I associate it with the time of year, I tend to start liking them.
I see the logic.
Yeah, I dig Christmas. It's awesome.
Yeah, I don't really,
I actually really
hate
like
that song particularly much.
I mean, this was my alternative Christmas list, but I really like Mariah Carey's I Want for Christmas
Is You. Used to hate it, and I've started thinking it's all right. Really bizarrely, My Chemical Romance
yes,
is cover
and
of
The
it.
Used. It was the both of them together, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, okay. It was the singer from The Used and then My Chemical Romance.
Right, okay. Because My Chemical Romance are utterly, utterly terrible.
They
no,
are.
Apart
they're
from
not.
When they do covers.
They're not. They're not.
Okay.
100% not.
Okay.
Everything on Black Parade is fucking great. The album that they did after that, the post-apocalyptic thing, fucking great.
Okay.
You tell me that Na 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 is not a catchy motherfucker of a song.
True, although they nicked those lyrics off the Kaiser Chiefs.
But they did it better, thankfully, because who could do it worse?
Yes.
But we digress.
Shall we go on to Ian's least favourite Christmas song?
Ian, please tell us your least
favourite. Is it called So This Is Christmas?
No, it's called Merry...
Merry Christmas brackets
war
is over.
Yes.
Fucking John fucking Lennon.
And the Plastic Ono Band.
Fuck off. Fuck off. I can't pour enough scorn on this absolute shit of a song.
I must admit, I really hate it too.
Like,
actually.
Christmas songs should be cheerful, and this is a... like.
Yes, Tracy.
This is like... No, but you know what
no,
I mean?
No, Christmas songs it's don't like, have to be cheerful.
Cheerful or personal, they shouldn't be guilt trips. This is like a fuck... You know, like those... adverts that they put up in the middle of like comic relief and shit like that.
Yeah.
It's like that, but in song form. Like, so it's Christmas. I hope you're having fun.
What have you done?
Yeah, like, oh, fuck off, John. Fuck off. You wanted to have sex with your mom, John Lennon. So what I've done is not try and fuck my mother. That's what I've done. So. I count myself as a better person than John Lennon.
Yes.
Also, I've never beaten my wife.
This is true.
I've never had an affair. And I have never been pro-IRA.
True.
All of which he did do, so...
Yeah.
He is the shittest hippie.
He wrote a couple of good songs, though.
Don't fucking wheel Imagine out.
No, that isn't one of them.
No, it is not.
Let's... We'll save that, because we'll probably discuss that band he was in one day.
Yeah, probably.
Actually, my little brother wanted me to get a special Christmas mention in for Ruben's Christmas Is Awesome.
Okay. I've listened to it once because you put it on that playlist thingy. It was alright.
It's okay.
Nice one, Tracy's brother.
Right, I'm going to try and dial it back a couple of notches now because I did get a little intense there. I apologise. Just, I'm really not a fan of that dude.
No, we noticed, but that's why we put that entire section in.
So, another envelope is being opened then.
It is. I get to do this one. So this is 16 to 9 of the countdown. Professional and all that. Okay. Right. Number 16 on the list was one of mine. Tracy really didn't like this one very much.
Yeah.
This is Learn to Let Go by Kesha. Fucking love Kesha.
I know you do. Mm. It's weird.
I really like sparkly modern pop. I listen to quite a lot of it. And Kesha is probably my favourite of all of the current kind of...
It's all about Swiftie.
She's...
Her new album isn't very good.
Yeah, but you know, I reckon.
And her fans are deluded little bints.
But it's young kids that are into pop. That's always been the case.
True.
As far back as like Bill Haley and the Comets. You know, as long as there has been teenagers.
Did you see the HMV thing on the shitstorm on Twitter? Yeah.
Was it Birmingham HMV?
Yeah, it was.
They played Taylor Swift's new album 2 days before it was released.
Yep.
Which they're allowed to do. It wasn't embargoed in any way.
I'm not entirely sure they are. I think they normally
are. I know someone who manages an HMV store. I found out.
Because quite often albums are embargoed till release date.
Yeah.
Because you get that written on the promo not to be played before. I know Radiohead's Kid A was because I have the promo of it.
Mm-hmm.
They've got death
the ones threats. That say not for resale.
Yeah.
And yet you can always somehow buy them.
Oh, yeah. Record and Tape Exchange in London, they've got boxes full of them. I used to collect them. But they basically got death threats, didn't they?
They did.
But that's Taylor Swift.
Yeah, like how angry or scared can you possibly be of a like fucking preteen girl?
I'm going to kill you.
Fuck off. You're not. You're going to cry. That's what you're going to do. You're going to fucking cry.
Particularly,
I reported one account on Twitter over the threats. They were horrible.
But they were mostly sort of from, you know, Iowa and stuff like that, so they weren't really going to come to the Birmingham. They probably thought it was Birmingham, Alabama.
We have horribly digressed there.
Kesha. So, I mean, she's too commercial for me. It's Topshop music.
It's fuck off Topshop music. No, that... I
Colin, it is Topshop music.
It really is.
Fair point. To be fair, though, it's one of my favourite albums of the year. It's a really diverse album.
Yeah.
And I couldn't decide which song to put on there. And sort of every day I was like, did I choose the right one? No, I'm going to go for that one. And I changed the song that I went for. And it potentially could have been higher on the list if I'd have chosen one. There's a couple of tracks on the album that have got Eagles of Death Metal as the backing band. I know Ian is not a fan at all of them.
That's just because
That's mainly because... Jesse thingy is a right-wing nutcase.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
But musically, those tracks are really good. This particular track, with what's been going on, obviously for legal reasons, it's probably best not to get into too much, but you've got the internet, you can find out. But it's a very sort of defiant comeback album, basically, because she wasn't able to record for years.
I did read about that case, actually.
Legal issues with her producer.
I totally support her and the issue. I just don't like her music.
No, but she's someone that, when she releases something, I'm sort of really, you know, like a cheerleader for it kind of thing. Not that I'm wearing the outfit or anything. That's a horrible mental image.
Thank God.
Should we go on to the next one?
Yes.
So, number 15 on the list is one of Tracy's. Tracy's favourite discovery this year, it's Reservoir by Scud Mountain Boys, which I think she only chose this song because I pronounce Reservoir differently from everybody in the world.
I was about to pick you up on it.
Yeah, it's Reservoir, but...
Reservoir.
No, I've always pronounced it Reservoir. I know it's wrong. I'm not going to fucking change it for anybody.
Fair enough.
I like the way I pronounce it.
The English language does not.
Well, it's French, isn't it?
Maybe.
Which is why it's pronounced
Reservoir. So this is, I mean, yeah, it's not from 2017, obviously. It's from 1995. It's from their first album, Pine Box. But I only started listening to Scud Mountain Boys this year when a Twitter friend, David, introduced me to their second album, Massachusetts.
Constant name dropping.
And I get a lot of recommendations from Twitter. You know, it's how I get into so much stuff.
Plus, if we mention them, they might retweet us.
Oh, hope so.
Retweet it.
Thank you.
I can't believe I never listened to Scud Mountain Boys because it's Joe Panisse. It's his band from before the Panisse Brothers. And I've been a long
time...
Panisse
Brothers.
Panisse Brothers. I've been a long time fan of the Panisse Brothers. But it's me and more alt country heartbreak.
Doesn't sound like they're two music.
I never thought of that, but that's going to... I'm never going to hear the name the Panisse Brothers without thinking that they're just putting a weird accent on now.
How's it spelled?
P-E-N-I-S. P-E-R-N-I-C-E.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, whatever. You spelled penis wrong.
Okay.
This has been my year of alt country, though.
Tracy, every year is your year.
No, this year more than any. You know, I'm rediscovering alt country and Americana, you know. Uncle Tupelo, Sun Vault, Bonnie Prince Billy.
Isn't it Tupelo? I'm pretty sure it's Tupelo.
I don't know.
Tupperware. Uncle Tupperware. So, yeah.
And... yeah, Tupperware. I've really got big on.
I like it. It's like a sort of nice sort of late night chilled.
I can't remember how harshly I rated that one.
Not too bad actually. You gave it 3.
There you go. So less shit than
some of the others.
Yeah, like
yeah. So
I think it just went on for too fucking long. That was the thing. The chorus was just like, okay, stop it now. Stop it.
It's a sparse song. I mean, the verse and the chorusy bit, they are just repeated over and over, but kind of sometimes just reversed. But I like that. I like the repetition.
So, number 14 on the list is Home 9909.
Horror.
Horror.
Allegedly pronounced horror, but it's spelled H-O-9909.
Yep.
War is Hell. This is one of Tracy's favourites.
Yeah.
Tracy rated this as 7.
I did.
Overall, this
really
got
13.
Me and Ian both gave it 3. I liked it.
Oh, God.
It.
Yeah, I liked
it. It's just really heavy industrial hip-hop, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like mad vocals, mad synths.
Like, that felt like the most
representative track. It reminded me of like Odd Future and Tyler, the Creator.
It reminded me of Death in Vegas's Aisha, but with different vocals.
I can get a bit of that with the beats, definitely.
Yeah.
There's a track directly after that one called Street Power, I think.
Okay.
It is kind of hip-hop, and then it just goes into like full-on hardcore punk for the chorus.
Oh, cool.
Brilliant.
Then comes out again.
No, I liked it a lot.
They gig with a full live band, apparently.
Yeah.
I almost went to see Papa Roach because they were the support band.
Ooh.
Almost.
Papa Roach, utterly, utterly terrible band. Really, really nice people.
That doesn't surprise me.
I got dragged to see them years and years and years ago by an ex-girlfriend, and they're one of those bands that if people are trying to meet them to get stuff signed by the tour bus afterwards, they're one of these bands a bit like Rachel Stamp, where they look out for the blokes that have obviously been dragged there by their girlfriends,
yeah,
and will talk to you about, you know, random other stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, they're still fucking shit though.
End of part 1. Please load part 2 into your audio player now.